χέρι σου για να το κουσουμάρει. Πρέπει να έχεις την ψυχή κουρατζή, καρδιά για να το βγάνεις. Πρέπει να έχεις την ψυχή κουρατζή, καρδιά για να το βγάνεις. Και θα έρθω στο τσάρδι
we've been playing for today is called Rebetika. I had the opportunity of hearing Rebetika music played live in a tavern on the Greek island of Samos and can attest to its emotional power and beauty. Greek men and women of all ages, either singly, in couples, or in groups, love to dance to it. Online with us now is Brad Duncan, our Omo musicologist. Good morning, Brad.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome back to the Omo.
Oh, pleasure as always. I'm loving this music that we've been listening
to. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? So this music, its origins are very interesting. Could you tell us a little bit about its history?
Absolutely. Rebetika music of Greece started, basically kind of came together in the 1920s and had its heyday in the 1920s and 30s. And in many ways, although it's definitely Greek music, the obvious influence is Turkish. And in the early 1920s, there was a very horrific chapter that listeners can read up on called the Great Population Transfer between Greece and Turkey. And what happened, part of the story, is that lots of people of Greek descent were sent, to Greece, leaving Turkey in the early 1920s. And so there's this big influence of Turkish music on Greek music, which is an influence that had already existed, but this historical event really kind of helps accentuate that. And really at its core, what Rembetika is a Greek version of what's essentially Ottoman cafe music. And it was always seen as kind of the music of nightclubs. And really Rembetika is often called Greek blues. Not just because of kind of its social context, it was seen as the music of urban workers primarily, but also because of its subject matter. Rembetika songs a lot of times have a lot of social realism to them. They talk about poverty, life in the ghetto, a lot of songs about time spent in prison, but then they also have Rembetika songs often a kind of defiant hedonism to them. There's a lot of songs about smoking hash. There's a lot of songs about kind of the seedy, debaucherous underbelly of life in, you know, a working class neighborhood in Athens too. And that's a real prominent part of Rembetika.
Yeah, this music came out of, as they say, out of the hash dens and prisons.
Exactly.
And yeah, it has was always very subversive music. Can you say more about the themes of what they would talk about?
Absolutely, and I think it's important to point out that it was seen as subversive. One of the reasons is because a right-wing military dictatorship came to power in 1936 in Greece and banned Rembetika music, which is tricky because it was largely underground music. So I guess that just means pushing it farther underground. But the Greek right wing made the argument that Rembetika was offensive on two different levels. One, it was politically offensive because it was music associated with urban workers, and of course the class struggle was quite hot at that time, and it was kind of seen as rebel music just on that level, and also that it portrayed the kind of seediness of life in working class ghettos in Greece. So it was politically seen as kind of suspect, but then also on a cultural level, meaning Rembetika is Greek music that's heavily indebted to Turkish music. In fact, it's actually really heavily indebted to a lot of different kind of musics from the Balkans and from that whole neck of the woods. So it's very much not pure Greek music in the eyes of, you know, xenophobes and conservatives. So Rembetika was really truly a subversive music. And, you know, both of folk music and then also, like we were saying, really the sounds of the nightclubs and hash dens as well.
Right. Yeah, I believe this music was banned in the middle years of the last century, and there was a revival starting in the 60s and 70s that was associated with the junta and it became more overtly political.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And what's interesting is when Rembetika records started being printed again after the Second World War. They were popular in the 40s and 50s to a certain extent, but it was a very sanitized version of Rembetika. No songs about police brutality, the prison, or smoking hash, you know. But when it comes back in the 60s and 70s, and you're right to put it, the backdrop being the military junta and kind of the global 1968 moment, Rembetika is back, and it's more explicitly political than ever. In the 20s and 30s, it was seen as political and had social commentary to it, but wasn't really agitprop. And I think in many ways, the kind of openly political identity of music, we see that even more in the Rembetika Renaissance that happens, like as you were saying, in the 60s mm-hmm. and 70s.
Well, it's great music, and love listening to it. I hope some of you out there listening will take the trouble to search the music out and listen to some more yourselves. Thank you, Brad, for all that information. And
my pleasure.
Be talking to you again soon.
Sounds good.